Advocacy for All. Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of the Cricket Podcast with George and Isaac. We will talk about the last test at the Oval, the retirement of an English cricket great, and a very exciting Ashes to look back on. First of all, yes, a huge hello from my partner in crime, George. George, how are you doing?
Yes, I'm fine, thanks. Yes, I'm, as I say, getting there quietly, slowly but surely.
Absolutely.
You know, and enjoying the weather now. It's not too bad today, but it's, I think they said it's round about the wettest July's on August, so I heard, or something like that, on record.
But the sun is out today, so that's the main
thing. It must be quite nice today, so.
So it's hard to know where to start, but I guess as we're looking back, the announcement of Stuart Broad. So on day four of the fifth test, he announced that he's retiring. And then on the fifth day, as the most incredible game and fairy tale ending. First of all, what went through your mind when you heard that Stuart Broad was retiring?
I was a little bit shocked, but then I thought, well, I don't. To be honest with you, as I said to Susie earlier on in the week when I was having a chat, I could see where he was coming from. He was at, what is he, 36, 37. And I think he said that it's just that the travelling that was just doing him, travelling all over the world. He said he enjoyed the game. He said the game he enjoys, he does enjoy it, but it's just all the travelling that was just doing him. And, he's got a young family and he wants to spend more time with his daughter, doesn't he? And he wants to by the look of it, I think he wants to get into broadcasting as well, because he's done a bit of the 100. So I saw, on the telly. And I was a bit shocked, but I thought, I don't blame him. He's come out on the top. Taken more Ashes wickets within a certain amount of time, hasn't he? Was he 37, 38 wickets, something like that? And, plus, as I say, he did lose a good friend in Shane Warne, because I know he was very close to Warney. And I think that was the shock of losing him as well, that more or less jolted him, because what was that, 2 years ago he went? Something like that. And he's come out on the top, and he's, as you say, hit his last ball for six. And he with his last ball, he took a wicket. So what more of a fairy tale ending do you need, you know? So
It was quite incredible as the scenes unfolded, and the thing is that Stuart Broad, he's had so many different moments for England. There was previous Ashes. Was there one game where he bowled, was it nearly eight wickets or something?
It was the game that I think it was the 2009. No, not the 19. Was it the last? I think it was the last one. One of the last games, Ashes games, that Cookie was captain. I think Anderson wasn't playing because he was injured, and I think it was at Trent Bridge. He took 8 for 15, and bowled Australia out for 60, and. He said, once I get in one of those spells, that's it. You just can't take the ball out of his hand. You know, he'll get on a roll. And it's the way he's adapted to play against, to bowl against left-handers. He could never bowl, well, he could, but he wasn't very good. But as he's progressed in the years, he's learned how to bowl against left-handers. And I mean, you look how many times he's taken David Warner.
I was just about to mention his name, because I'm sure David Warner is glad to see the back of Stuart Broad now that he's retired. You know what I mean? Because he took so many of Warner's wickets, didn't he?
What was it, 17, isn't it?
Wow.
He was looking for the record, wasn't he? Because McGrath's taking what was it, Mike Atherton 19 times, and he just couldn't do it. But was, you know, at least equal the record anyway. But he, no, there are no, I did, going on to a different subject, I did hear that whether Warner would play on to the last test in Sydney, over there, whether that'll be, it's up, as I say, they always say it's up to selectors whether they'll select him anymore or not. I don't know, because he had a bad Ashes, a couple of 50s. That's not Warner to me, you know, he just didn't look right to me, but. You know, but no, it's just say, going back to Broadie, he was one of these cricketers that, I mean, you mustn't forget he did captain the one day side as well a few years ago in the couple of World Cups ago, didn't he? You know, so I mean, his last time he captained was what, 2015, when who was it? I've forgotten his name, is it? The Indian player, I've forgotten his name now, hit him for six sixes. And you could see poor old Stuart Broad, you know, walking the ball, sailing off into the wide blue yonder, you know. And I think that was more or less the last straw for him, you know, when it came to the last match, which we were knocked out of when old Owen Morgan was offered the job when we came home. I think that was it. You know, they decided just to have two captains, one for tests and one for one dayers, and that was it, you know. But no, Broadie, he's given his all for England. He's played well. He's played all over the world. He hasn't played in any of the franchises. I know that because he more or less concentrated on county cricket and test match cricket. And as I said earlier, he's just come to the age now. He just thought, well, his body's slowing him down now. He's at an age now. He just don't fancy being battered all over the place, you know, getting bruised and whatever. So, as a bowler, it was a shock, but I could see where he was coming from at the time. Because as I say, as you know, I've got that thoughts in my mind about resigning from. From work at the moment, so yeah.
You're listening to Advocacy for All. I have to say, though, the form of Chris Wokes probably played a very, very huge part in Anderson not really getting that many overs to bowl. What do you think of Chris Wokes' performance over the Ashes?
I thought he played very well. I really did. I mean, especially being in at the end at the Headingley Test and taking as many wickets as he did. What was it, 19 wickets he took during the series?
Yeah.
In what? Was it three tests or three or four tests? Three tests, yeah. And also having Mark Wood there as well. I mean, no batsman likes seeing someone bowling at you at 90 odd miles an hour. Even I wouldn't like it, you know. I was always saying, I say to Susie as well, I'm a typical number 11. I wasn't a very good batsman, but I could bowl a little bit. But, you know, to watch someone coming roaring in at you, Chris Wokes played very well. He really did, you know. And to, I know he's not travelling. I don't think he's going to India this year because I think the travelling is doing him in at the moment. Whether he'll go to the World Cup in India, I don't know, but because he's one of our best one-day bowlers, isn't he, Chris Wokes? And as I say, he was quick, but he wasn't as quick as, you know, what was he, 80-odd miles an hour? Even that's quick. Mm. You know, slinging the ball down at that speed, you know, so... Yeah, I think Mo played well as well. I know he only played the last, what was it, four tests. But as you said at the beginning, all Ben Stokes had to do was just text him Ashes and that was it. But he's fully retired now, isn't he, Mo? He's,
he says he's going to ignore every text that is sent to him.
Because Ben Stokes... Back. Yeah, Ben Stokes is going to have his knee sorted out, isn't he? So that's why he can't play in the World Cup. He's going to get ready for the India series, but he's not playing in the. He said he'd love to go back and play in the World Cup, but he said I've got to get because it's no good him just playing as a batsman, because he's got a field as well, and that's going to do more damage on his knee. So he might as well get himself, try and get himself fully fit. I think he's doing an operation on his knee or something soon. So I heard that's why he's not in the 100, which is a shame, because he'd have enjoyed that.
He certainly would have. So what do you think about the captaincies of both Cummings and Stokes? How did you think it compared, and what do you think their individual journey was like?
I could tell, I think I could tell that Stokes was enjoying it more. He was going out, all right, I know he had no chance in the first test. Well, he did actually. If they'd have got those last five or six wickets, was it, or seven, last three wickets, we'd have won that test. And we had no chance in the Lord's test because I think a lot of the players that hadn't played, well, a lot of them had, but they were just overawed, I think, you know. But the I think his captaincy is one of these, if he needs to defend, he will. But if he's going to all out and attack, he'll go and attack. He'll have a word with his batsman. He'll say, well, right, we need such and such, go out and show what you're made of, really. I mean, you've got already, all right, they've clicked very well, is Duckett and Crawley. I think they've played very well, the top of the order. You know, more or less guaranteed runs when you've got Root playing. As for Brook, he just plays. He gets out there to enjoy himself, isn't he? You know, Bairstow, don't get me wrong, I like Bairstow as a batsman. He's a very good batsman. But every time he goes out, he always wants to go out there to prove himself. And I think, don't do that. We know what type of batsman you are. Go out there. If you've got to defend, defend. If you're going to smack him for four or whatever, do it. Don't just go out there nervous. Don't move your feet and your head goes all over the place. The ball's, you're not going to hit the ball. You're going to get out. I bowled, or the silly one he got where he got stumped. Well, wait until the ball's dead and then go up and have a chat with your partner, you know.
He was very shaky, wasn't he?
He was very shaky.
as a wicket keeper the first two tests. But I mean, he did sort of bring it back and
he took some good catch. I mean, I can't remember who he dismissed, but the catch he took, his feet were going one way and then all of a sudden the ball was went another way, and he took the catch right in front of who usually stands at first, usually Joe Root, isn't it, first slip, because he was undecided whether he would go for it, or, well, Joe Root couldn't because he stands quite far back, so if he'd have gone for it, he'd have dropped it, because it, you know, so no, he did improve later on. But in my eyes, it's, well, why improve later on when you should have really shown that at the beginning, you know? So I know after the second test, they were thinking whether or not to bring Folkes back because he's more of a better wicket keeper. As I say, he's not a bad batsman, but, you know, he was more, and just keep Bairstow as a batsman, you know? So it's hard, really, because he did improve later on, and whether they'll still keep him as the wicket keeper in India, I don't know. So it's up to them, but they've got a wide variety of choices, haven't they? They've got some good wicket keepers around at the moment. So, yeah.
And what did you think of Cummings and his captaincy of the Aussies?
I thought Cummings, if he wanted to attack, he could, but I think he was more defensive because he's heard a lot about this Bazball. He tried to defend, to try to stop the players from hitting fours and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden he bowls his first ball and Crawley smacks him for four straight down the ground. So I thought he could be very defensive, but he wasn't too bad. His bowling improved as it went on, but he played, I think the first test you could tell after winning the World Championships, he was really het up. He really, you know, he was there. He wanted to play well. And as I was saying earlier, as gradually the tests wore on, he got more and more tired. I could tell by looking at the telly, you could tell. And as for some of his decisions, like when some of the reviews, you think, well, why did he review that?
Mm.
You can either tell it wasn't out, or, you know, why review it? And you lose your reviews then. And when you need it, or for a bad decision or something like that, you've got nothing left, you know, like what happened to him last time, 2019. You know, Payne lost all his reviews. You could tell literally that, who was it, Leakes was out. And he couldn't, oh, no, sorry, it was Stokes, wasn't it, Headingley. You could tell he was out LBW, but he had no reviews left. So the umpire wasn't going to give it unless, you know, and he couldn't review it because, you know, he had none left. He'd used them earlier on for silly reviews. So it's, but no, I thought he kept him very well. I mean, they you know, they followed him, you know, around, but they I could tell he was getting tired later on and he was getting very defensive. You know, even at the last test, you can tell he was getting very defensive because no matter what he tried, we were just piercing the field, you know, and he just couldn't, his batting just, well, I know he hit a few, what was it, a couple of sixes at the last test, something like that. And as soon as he got out, you could tell they were just calling around in hospitals.
You're, you know, listening to Advocacy for All. Because they didn't have
someone there to look up to, you know. And, you know, we won, what was it? Was it again? Was it 49 runs again, wasn't it? Something like, something same as the first test, wouldn't it? That was 49 runs as well. So, how you know, so it was, yeah, I think he, you know, they, I think, depending what sides he's playing, he's got to think of how they're going to play. I mean, India always play an attacking form. South Africa can be very defensive if they want to be. Pakistan, even if they're in their own country, they can be very, very attacking. Because they, as I always say with Pakistan, they always seem to got a point to prove all the time, you know. And as if to say, well, why did you leave us out of this and out of that? But they've got the players to keep them going. Australia, they can play attacking, but as I say, the last test, they just looked too tired for me, you know. I could see, I think, as Ben Stokes probably has said in his team meetings, they're for the taking now. You know, they were just, yeah. As soon as you got Mollis, the top two or three out, even when you got Smith out, they just faded away. Carey tried, which he was that type of player, and Head tried, but they kept swapping and changing. They had no spin bowler in the last test. And England, they had, well, say one and a half. You had Mo, who was more of a spin bowler, but you had Joe Root, who is what they call a part-time, for a part-time spin bowler, he doesn't do too badly. What was it, 50-odd wickets?
Mm. And tell me about, you know, and tell me about Bazball. What do you think about Bazball and Stokes' captaincy?
I don't think it worked in the first test because they went out and, as I said earlier, the Aussies defended quite well against it. The second test, I think they tried it there, but it just didn't pay off in my eyes. Soon as they got to Headingley, it worked because they were out there, they attacked. And the Aussies just didn't know whether they were coming or going. Because yes, I can understand where they're coming from. If someone's going to bowl me the ball and it's out there, they're going to hit it. Yeah, that's fine. But sometimes it doesn't pay off. You know, you're going to do that. You're going to get nick off. You're going to be caught behind. You're going to be caught in the slips or out in the deep if they've got players out there, you know. And a lot of the teams now are learning to defend against it. Because when they started doing it, what was it, against New Zealand last year, they didn't know whether they were coming. They were like rabbits in headlights, wasn't they? They just didn't know whether they were coming or going. The ball was going here, there and everywhere. And I thought, what the hell's happened here? You know, they, but no, I think the Aussies defended against it, first of all, around about the first couple of tests. And then once England got the idea that, well, if they're going to do that, we just have to find something different. And they found something different. And that's what won them more or less the last two tests. And they should have won at Old Trafford, as I said before. But what was it? They won two and drew the other one. Drew two baseball. Because they were out there. They could attack. They can defend if they wanted to. But, you know, as I always say, the runs on the ball always win your games. And the bowlers are there to defend whatever you've got. If you're going to be bowled out for 100, the poor old bowler's got, well, what am I going to do? You know, they can't defend 100. You might be able to in the T20 because you've only got 20 overs to defend. But when you've got 90-odd overs to bowl in a day, was it 98, isn't it?
Yeah.
I did hear they were supposed to be raising it to 100, but whether they will or not, I don't know. But, and you know, so, yeah, it was... It was. It's good to watch, you know. It brings people in. Now I think that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to bring the crowds in. Make because who was it who said that? Oh, it was Beefy. He said once, cricket is an entertainment. We're out there to entertain the public. If we just go out there and just defend the ball every five overs or whatever, the public are going to get out and walk out. That's why you had people like in the 70s and 80s. You had people like Ian Botham, David Gower, who just have to touch the ball and it's gone to the boundary. You had people like Brian Lara from the West Indies, Viv Richards. They were bringing the crowds in. And I think that's what baseball wanted to do. They wanted to bring people in, even people that didn't understand cricket.
So England will be playing India next year. That will be the next test series that England will be playing. So that will be it for today and the George and Isaac Cricket Podcast. What we will do before England play India is that we're going to do some interviews, aren't we, George? So the interviews we're going to do is of our CEO, John Wheeler. And then also one of our colleagues, Susie, who's also a huge cricket fan, she's going to join us for one episode as well. So what do you reckon on those two guests coming
up? Yes, that'd be lovely. That'd be lovely. I know Susie often comes up to me, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And stuff like that. So even sometimes, I didn't have a chance yesterday, but even sometimes when I'm chatting with John, we always get to the cricket, you know. So, you know. Cricket or gardening, that's what John stands for, isn't it? He does like his gardening as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to the Cricket Podcast with George and Isaac. Please subscribe to our show and leave us a rating and a review. You can follow us on Instagram at Advocacy for All and Twitter at Bigger Voice. This podcast was engineered by Isaac and produced by the media team of Advocacy for All.